Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Receiving the land. Hallelujah. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long? How long? How long's a feast of strength? How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? New covenant speak, Jesus said to you and me, how long will you neglect to receive the fullness of the inheritance which your heavenly Father has given you? We were singing a few moments ago, our God is a Savior, our God is a healer. These are elements of the inheritance that we have received. I hope we're walking in the fullness of that salvation, receiving everything that He provided for us, because Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give. If you ain't got nothing to give, it's hard to give if you ain't got nothing to give. But everything's been made freely available. We don't have to earn it, we don't have to work for it, we don't have to sweat over it or anything else. Just freely receive it. Freely you have received, He said. Now freely give. Hallelujah. You've got something that you can give away. You've got something to share. You've got something to bless people with. Amen. We've got a testimony of God's goodness. We can share that with people. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because land is for people. Land is for people to occupy. It's for people to enjoy a life of carefree superabundance. That's why God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The earth, He created and He placed. He created man. After He created the earth, He created man and He placed man in the earth and He gave him dominion in the earth. He said, I'm giving you this. Look after it. Take care of it. Tend it. Take care of it. Increase in it. Multiply in it. Why? Because God's a God of multiplication. God's a God of increase. Amen. Hallelujah. I know a lot of people buy into that remnant theology. Well, I don't have much time for that. Well, in one sense I do, because I know God never ends with a remnant. He always starts with a remnant. Go down the carpet shop, the remnant's the end of the road. But God always begins with a remnant. He never ends with one. Amen. And God, if God finds a remnant, glory to God, He'll start with that remnant. Hallelujah. He whittled Gideon's army right down to nothing, and then He started with that army to begin building again. Hallelujah. Demonstrating His glory, demonstrating His kingdom, demonstrating His goodness and His faithfulness, demonstrating His power in the earth. Hallelujah. God's not limited by numbers, but He's still into numbers. Amen. He doesn't want us just to sit here, us four and no more, and say, well, isn't this wonderful? We must be the remnant. That's the biggest load of holy baloney you ever heard in your life. Amen. God's into increase. He's into multiplication. He said, I'm giving you the earth, and I want you to multiply in it. Go forth and multiply. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And that word still comes down to us this morning. Glory to God. We still have an anointing to multiply. We have a commission to multiply. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach this gospel, because this gospel will bring about something. Multiplication. Hallelujah. Increase. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've already been given the land. All that remains for us to do is to receive it. Joshua chapter 6, we've been looking at. There are seven things it was as to get out of Joshua 6. I think we covered four of them. Last time, I'll just run through them very quickly. The first one, when we say, speak, Lord, we are also saying, shut up, devil. Hallelujah. When we say, speak, Lord, when we say, Lord, speak, and we take what He says, and we begin to speak it out, we're silencing the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Second thing is, God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways, but He invites us to come and align our ways with His way. In Isaiah 55, He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than yours. And He's not saying, so take that, you useless bit of nothing. No, He's saying, so if you will just come and align your thoughts with my thoughts, then you'll discover that as a result of your thoughts being aligned with my thoughts, that your ways will become aligned with my ways. Hallelujah. And I want to cover what we covered before. The third thing was that there's a time to be silent and there's a time to speak. So that can be a difficult lesson to learn sometimes. Amen. There's a time to be silent and there is a time to speak. The fourth thing is bringing the first fruits to the Lord delivers you. The first fruits of your increase, let's say, to the Lord delivers you from the curse of serving mammon. So in Joshua chapter 6, when the people heard the trumpet, they let out a great shout that says, and the walls fell flat. God gave them a strategy, they followed that strategy, and at the end, when God says, now it's time to shout, they let out a shout, and a great sight, and the walls fell flat, just like the Lord said to it. Do you know that if you will do what God tells you to do, that what God said would be the result of that will always be the result that He promised? Do you believe that? Because that's faith. That's faith. That's faith. Simply put, that's faith. Amen. So that, when the walls came down, they went up into the city, it's the word of God tells us, and they destroyed everything with the edge of the sword. I want us just to grasp something here again this morning. You know, every aspect of our old lives. Who knows that Jesus came so we could have a brand new life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, if anyone is in Christ, say anyone. That has to include you and me. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The old has passed away. I think in the IV it just puts it very simply and succinctly. The old is gone. The new has come. The New King James says, the old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. The old is gone. We need to let the old go. We'll go into that in a bit more detail probably in a few minutes. But we need to grasp here that every aspect of our old lives that doesn't have the edge of the sword applied to it, every aspect and the area of our lives that is not brought under the authority of and any submission to God's word will always be a stumbling block to us. We'll always keep tripping over the same old thing. We'll always keep falling back into the same old patterns of failure and defeat. And that's not God's will for us. That's not God's heart for us. Amen. He didn't come to bring us religion. He came to bring us a brand new life. Amen. Glory to God. Where we can start looking in the rear view mirror and see that things that used to hold us back disappearing into the distance. Till we eventually reach a place where we don't even remember what it was like to be bound by these things anymore. There's so much a part of our history that they're just gone. Amen. Hallelujah. So Hebrews chapter 11, it clearly states that it was by faith. Say, by faith. It was by faith, by taking God at His word, that the walls of Jericho came down. In verse 30 of Hebrews 11, it says, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. So let's move on a little bit into Joshua chapter 6. Verse 22, Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. And so they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. The fifth thing I want us to get from Joshua chapter 6 is this. If you don't die to the world, you will die in the world. If you don't die to the world, you will die in the world. See, Rahab had chosen to die to Jericho. When she sheltered the spies, she made a decision to die to Jericho. And because she decided to die to, she chose to die to Jericho, she didn't die in Jericho along with everybody else. Everyone around her perished, but because she had made a decision to die to Jericho, she did not die in Jericho. See, Rahab had heard what God had done. She said that to the spies. She said, everybody here has heard what your God has done for you. People here have been quaking in their boots, waiting for you to come. She heard what God had done for His people. And while it caused fear in the hearts of the other inhabitants of Jericho, it actually stirred faith in her heart. Something in her said, I'd like to know this God. I'd like to have the protection of this God. I'd like to share in some of the provision of this God. I'd like to be in relationship with this God. I'd like to have this God as my God. My God is a Savior. Come on. My God is a healer. I want some of that. I want some of that. That's why we share testimony. That's why we tell people about our God. Why? Because we want people to say, I want some of that. Just like Rahab. While everybody else in the city was in fear, faith began to stir in her. While everyone else was shaking their boots and quaking in fear, Rahab responded in faith. In Hebrews 11:31 it says it was by faith. Say by faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, but faith comes by hearing about who God is and what he does, what he's about. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city. Not Rahab the good living. No, Rahab the prostitute. Why would that? Wasn't afraid to tell who she was. Because who she was wasn't going to impact who she was going to become. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. Because prostitute was going to be part of the old. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Hallelujah. You know, and I think it's in the Gospel of Luke, it says there's a time coming when men's hearts will begin to fail them because of fear, because of what is happening. And these days are already already on us. People are in all kinds of fear about all the stuff that's going on, all the things that are taking place in the earth, in the world around them. There's people right now whose hearts are failing them because of fear, because of what is happening in the world. But I have the good news for you this morning. For those of God's people who have already died to the world, there's only faith. No, there's no room for fear. There's only faith to see what God has promised. To see what God has promised coming to pass as the world system collapses. We don't have to be afraid if the world system is collapsing. Because our faith is not placed in the world system. Our faith is not placed in the economy or anything else. Our faith is not placed in our nation's ability to defend itself against enemies, whoever they are or whoever they position themselves against us. Our faith is not in these things. Come on, somebody. I trust it ain't anyhow. As the world system collapses, you see, our faith is in the reality that the Church of Jesus Christ is coming up. Our faith is placed in the fact that God says that the kingdom of heaven is invading and advancing in the earth. Hallelujah. If you die to the world, you won't die in the world. You make that decision. You make that decision, you should only have to make it once. Sometimes you'll have to renew that decision. Sometimes you reach a crossroads in your life to think, well, hang on a minute. Am I going to choose? What am I going to choose here? Am I going to choose to go back into the world and come back under the stuff that's operating in that world system? Or am I just going to continue in my commitment to die to the world? Because I know that if I will die to the world, I will never die in the world. But if I refuse to die to the world, then I will die in the world. Remember the two thieves on the cross? On the crosses on either side of Jesus? You see, right there, right then, there were three crosses. There was Jesus there in one cross, and he was dying for the sin of both of these men. And not just for both of these men, but for the whole world. So these two men represented the rest of the world, pretty much. Because one man responded to what was happening there with mocking, and with that accusing, mocking language that always comes out of fear. And because of that, he died in his sin. Even though Jesus was paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world, he died in his sin because he responded with fear. He wasn't being brave. That's fear, the talking, mocking, accusation. That's always fear. Come on, who knows what I'm talking about? The other man, he called out to Jesus with words of faith. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And because of that, he died to his sin. Jesus, he recognized Jesus was dying for his sin. And so because he responded in faith to what Jesus was accomplishing there beside him on the cross, he died to his sin. Hallelujah. We understand, folks, that Rahab and her family were saved the only way you can be saved. By grace, through faith. By grace, through faith. You've got to simply recognize that Jesus died for your sin and embrace what he did for you on your behalf. And in doing that, you die to your sin. But if you reject what he did, if you count it as nothing, if you mock and everything else, everything that he did and everything that he came to accomplish and everything that he stands for, then you will die in your sin. And that will be your choice. That will be your choice. Because if you don't die to the world, you will die in the world. Rahab and her family were saved the only way that it's possible to be saved, by grace, through faith. Freely you have received. She overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of her testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Just like it says in Revelation chapter 12:11, there's no other way. Verse 26 of Joshua chapter 6. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. If you don't die to the world, you will die in the world. The sixth thing I want us to get from this is, what the Lord has cursed, we can never bless. And what the Lord has blessed, we can never curse. I said, what the Lord has cursed, we can never bless. And what the Lord has blessed, we can never curse. Who knows, there are those who are demanding right now that the church bless what God has cursed. That's why we must always allow the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, to cut through and divide between soul and spirit. Your soul, if you try and figure stuff out in your soul, you'll most times you'll get it wrong, because your soul, your mind, your will, particularly your emotions are so susceptible. Oh, well, if it feels right, or, well, you know, and you got to allow the word of God to come and cut between your soul and your spirit and remind you. Because it's only by living by what God says, it's only by hearing what God says that you can live the life that he designed you and created you to live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that God speaks. Not what society tries to lay on you, not what the culture tries to program you with. We need to allow the word of God to cut through and divide between soul and spirit and determine for us what is right and what is wrong. We live in a culture where moral relativism is the order of the day. If it feels good, do it. Don't judge anybody for what they're doing. We'll get to that in a minute, I think. See, when we step out of the word, we're always going to step into trouble. Because it's only the word that can keep you out of trouble. And it's essential that we're able to separate, and this is important, you need to hear this right now, because you can easily stick on your judge's hat and just begin to point fingers of condemnation and everything, shoot everything with both barrels and loose. Who knows what I'm talking about? It's essential that we are able to separate sinful actions from the person who is acting sinfully. There's a lot of confusion out there right now, because people are identifying themselves by labels that are associated with sinful practices. And sin is cursed. Sin is cursed. And we cannot bless that which God has cursed. Who knows what I'm talking about this morning? Jesus didn't take the curse attached to our sin so that we could continue in sin. He did it so that we could be set free from the power and the penalty over sin. St. Vincent again in chapter 5, it says that Jesus became sin with our sinfulness so that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. So that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. So that we could become as righteous as He is. So we could be accepted by God as being as righteous as Jesus is, who never sinned, not once. If He had sinned, then this wouldn't have worked. Because He never sinned, we are now standing before God. We can stand in His presence without a sense. If we've received this salvation, if we've received this transaction in our lives that He accomplished on our behalf, then we can stand in God's presence this morning without a sense of shame or fear or guilt or condemnation or anything else. 1 Corinthians chapter, listen to the example. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous, Paul obviously discovered that there's some folks are still a bit confused about all this in this church down here in Corinth. And God chose to pass on what Paul shared with the church in Corinth because He knew that this was something that was going to be an area of confusion in people all the way through. Right down to us. Right down to our generation. Right down to our culture. And He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Who knows people who are deceived do not know they are deceived, because that's the nature of deception. If they knew they were deceived, they wouldn't be deceived anymore. And is that too simple? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So people who continue to identify with these lifestyles, people who refuse to acknowledge that they are contrary to godly and righteous living, exclude themselves from enjoying the fullness of the life that we were created to live and to enjoy. And nobody said amen. I'm saying amen. See, in these days we are continually being told that we have no right to judge. And that's partly true. But I want us to get something a bit, maybe a bit of clarity on something this morning. In these days that we have been continually told that we have no right to judge, it's also important to understand that you can judge an action as being sinful, while at the same time extending mercy and grace and unconditional love to the person who's committing the sin. And you must be able to make that distinction. You must be able to stay in that place of freedom where you know you have that freedom to judge an action as being sinful, while still extending mercy and grace and unconditional love to the person who is committing the sin. That's what Jesus did. Jesus never once condoned sin. He never once sanctioned sin, but He continually reached out to sinners and give them an opportunity to do what? To carry on living in their sin and be part of His club? No, to abandon their sin and come and follow Him. Imagine standing in a court of law. I mean, sometimes in the nature of deception, everything becomes so blurry and so fuzzy, and because people try and figure these things out in the realm of the soul, it all becomes about feelings and emotions and, I mean, there's so many things that are just so clear and so obvious, and yet so many people miss them because they're dealing with it all through the soul. But imagine standing in a court of law, okay, and you're being accused of a crime that you know that you have committed, and so you stand there in the dock and the judge looks at you and you say, "You've got no right to judge me." Can you imagine what was going to happen next? The judge is going to take off his wig and go, "Yeah, you're right there, son. I'm awful sorry. I don't know what I was thinking about. Please forgive me." Think about it. That's what That's what sometimes we are being asked to do. If what you've done is contrary to the law of the land, then he has every right to judge your action. And also to determine an appropriate sentence. Now, the judicial system is set up and everything else is supposedly set up, and this is supposed to be the spirit of it all, behind it all. It's important to understand that all sentencing is actually designed not only as a punishment for the offence, because that's what it is, but also as a means to reform the offender. It's an opportunity for the offender to receive his punishment and it to be a means of reformation in his life, where he says, I did wrong, I'm taking my punishment, I've done the crime, I'm due the time, and this is, I'm never going back to do that again. Now, then we know that doesn't always how it works. We know that a lot of these systems are broken, but that is what it's set up to do. Hallelujah. Is that right or is that wrong? Remember, Jesus took the curse of sin so that sinners can be blessed. Jesus didn't take our punishment so that we could continue to sin and re-offend, but so that we could experience not just reformation, but transformation. And that's why Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 6:11, after telling, reminding people of all of the categories of people, and there was by no means an exhaustive list, he goes on, and he says this in the next verse. As he lists all these categories of people that are excluded, self-excluded, from inheriting the kingdom of God. Because when you come into the kingdom of God, that's the end of all of the sinful behavior, all of the sinful action. It's gone. The old is gone. The old habit patterns are gone. The old places of bondage are gone. The old places of perversion are gone. And the new has come. New opportunities. A brand new opportunity to embrace the life that God designed and created us to live, that can only be enjoyed in its fullness the way God created it to be enjoyed. If you think I'm talking just about one thing here this morning, and you're wrong. I'm talking about everything. Every aspect, every area of life. That's why Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 6:11, and he says this, and such were some of you. Some of you were idolaters. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you were sodomites. Some of you were thieves. Come on. But, that's a God but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You were fornicators, you were idolaters. Come on, a few hands could go up down here this morning. You were fornicators, you were idolaters, you were adulterers, you were homosexuals, you were sodomites, you were thieves, you were covetous, you were drunkards, you were revilers, you were extortioners, but now you are new creations in Christ Jesus. Someone said to me about a particular lifestyle they were caught up in, and they said, I was born this way. I said, well, get born again. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. I'm not going to argue about all of these generic arguments and everything else. I'm not going to enter into that. All I'm telling you is, if you were born that way, you can get born again, and you won't be born again that way. That's the good news. I tell you, I was born all kinds of twisted ways, but I got born again, and a lot of that twisted ways just went. Someone tried to hold on a bit tighter. This is quite the good news. That the old is gone. That's the good news. That's the first part of the good news. The old is gone. That which you were carrying around, that which burdened you down, that which was causing you so much pain and misery and hurt, it's gone. And now, a whole brand new life has opened up before us. Of opportunity to live a life just the way God designed it to be lived. And victory. Enjoying it. But it really is, all of a sudden, life has not become religious and morbid and miserable. No, it's become fun. For the first time, I realize what real fun is. Real freedom is. Now you are new creations in Christ Jesus. The old lifestyles are gone and a new lifestyle has come. And so I can no longer continue to engage in any of these lifestyles without denying my new identity. Without denying my new identity as a child of God, and without violating the legitimate lifestyle choices of a citizen of His kingdom. Hallelujah. And all the commandments that He laid out that the world has tried to ignore, and the world has tried to get around, and yet every time they keep having to come back to them because they just make sense. Even the communists who denied God and everyone else, they created all these laws, and if you were to distill all these laws and bring them all back down to 10 laws, you'd find the basis of the 10 commandments there, because it just makes sense. They even tried to get people working 7 days a week, but then they realized you can't make a man work 7 days a week without wearing him out. They realized a man needs a day off, just like God said. And all of these things that used to be the law that weighed me down, they're now the promises of God to me. I will have no other gods before Him. Why would I want another God? And my God is a Savior. My God is a healer. My God is a provider. My God cares for me. I can cast all of my cares on Him because He cares for me. I can bring all of my problems to Him because He's got a solution to every one of them. I can come to Him with all of my questions. He doesn't slap me around for asking. He says, if you like wisdom, ask of me. I'll give it to you. I'll pour it out on you. Not conservatively, but liberally. Hallelujah. I shall not commit adultery because I'm not going to invite that mess into my family. I'm not going to destroy my children and my children's children and everything else. And I'm not, come on, somebody. That's a promise. That's not a commandment, that's a promise. That's an awesome promise. Hallelujah. The devastation that comes through all that crap you're lighting ain't going to touch my family, because I've got a promise for God, I will not. He says, you shall, you can take it as you shall not, or you can take it as, hey, you're not going to do that, because you're my child, you're my boy. My boy don't act that way, my boy don't behave that way. My boy don't run around here, there, and everywhere, creating all kinds of chaos. Because I created marriage. I created a man and a woman to come together as one and stay together as one. And create an atmosphere where they can raise children in a safe atmosphere. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. 25 years, 40 years, and a few days both. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. That deserves a round of applause. Hallelujah. Has it worked? Is that the way it's worked? Best, isn't it work? It's the best way. It's God's way. Come on, somebody. See, there was a day in our nation when legality and morality were to a great extent the same thing. That's no longer always the case. Over the years, there's been a gradual shift, a gradual change in the law. And eventually, they're going to have to come back to it because they've released all kinds of chaos in our society. Because the law used to be based on God's law because it was recognized as the best. You couldn't top it. They started messing with some of it and started ripping it apart. Eventually they're going to realize they have to come back to it because it's the only way. Because God's way is the only way. Because you cannot bless that which God has cursed. And you can't curse that which God has blessed. You can't say, you can't do it that way. I tell you, you can tell me any way you want. I can't do it that way. I'm going to do it that way because that's the best way. Blessed as best. I'm going to live in the places that God blessed. I'm going to live in the ways that God has blessed. I'm going to live in the environment that God has blessed. I'm going to choose the lifestyle choices that God has blessed. Because blessed is best. You can curse me all your life, but you can't curse what God has blessed. And I'll tell you something else. I will never bless what God has cursed. Because I believe God has blessing for everybody, and He ain't never going to be able to bless that. Which, there's no blessing coming on what He has cursed. Somebody. Hallelujah. Somebody's got to stand. Because we're here to release blessing, nothing else. Hallelujah. We need to judge sinful actions. Why? So people who are caught up in sinful actions can be transformed. Hallelujah. Somebody. A couple of days ago, I received an email from Christian Concern. They're an organization that provide legal advice and representation for Christians who are getting hammered all over the place for just being Christians. Listen to this one. As Christians, we know, this is what the email said, as Christians, we know that following God's good patterns for life always benefits our children. We can say amen to that. Sadly, the same can't always be said for our nation's public bodies. As Richard Page's recent experience shows, the Lord Chancellor recently dismissed Richard, who is a well-regarded family magistrate with 15 years of service. And this is why he was dismissed, for expressing his opinion that children do best with a married mum and dad. The NHS Trust, where Richard served as non-executive director, also suspended him. And they wonder why things ain't working. They wonder why things are busted. It's important, folks, that we understand that all sinful behavior, all lifestyle choices that are contrary to God's design, as He has very clearly outlined in His Word, they're cursed. And they cannot be called blessed. We cannot call something blessed that God has cursed. It's also important, and this is, we need to get a hold of, because otherwise you end up in some twisted old. It's also important that we remember that Jesus became a curse for all people, so that all people could be blessed. So the potentiality exists for all people to be blessed, because Jesus became a curse for all people. He became a curse with their sinfulness. He became cursed. Come on, son boy. We're not here to curse people. We're here to invite people to come and receive the blessing that has been provided for them. The scripture is very clear that the fullness of the blessing cannot be received while we hold on to a lifestyle that is cursed. That's just the way it is. It's a fact. You cannot receive something in your hands if your hands are already occupied by holding something else. You've got to put something down before you can pick something else up. You've got to let that old life go before you can fully enter into that new life. Otherwise, it isn't going to work. The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You have to decide to put down or let go of what you're holding in order to pick up or receive what's been offered to you. Or you can choose to hold on to what you already have. But in doing that, you reject what has been offered to you. See, Jesus died for sinners so that sinners could choose to die to their sin, or alternatively they could choose to die in their sin. It's their choice. Are we hearing this morning? Somebody said, well, I know that already. Well, I'm here to remind you. We have the right to choose. That's the most incredible, awesome thing, that He's given us the right to choose life or death, blessing or curse. And the good news is that our Father's heart toward us has been forever expressed at the cross. He said, this is how much I love you. I want you to choose life. I want you to choose blessing. And I'm demonstrating my love for you right now, my unconditional love for you. I'm demonstrating for you the extent of my mercy and my grace. And I'm reaching out to you with this message. And I'm telling you that I'm making available to you everything that I have freely available to you. But you can't. You must choose. You must choose. He made his perfect will clear for us. That Peter says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that all should die to their sin, so that they can enter in and live in the fullness of his blessing. Somebody help me. We're almost there. To summarize, before we look at our final point, I want us just to remember, when we say speak, Lord, we're also saying shut up, devil. God's ways are not our ways. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to speak. We bring the first fruits to the Lord, it delivers us from the curse of serving mammon. If we won't die to the world, we will die in the world. Is some of that clear to everybody? What the Lord has cursed, we can never bless. What the Lord has blessed, we can never curse or can never be cursed. In verse 27 of Joshua chapter 6, it says, so the Lord was with Joshua. The Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. The seventh thing and final thing that I want us to get out of Joshua chapter 6 here this morning is this. Never forget whose you are or how you got to where you are. Never forget whose you are or how you got to where you are. When the Lord is with you, when the Father says it is time to exalt you, nothing can stop it. You know, when Jesus presented himself to John to be baptized, he said so that all righteousness could be fulfilled. John says, I should be baptized. And Jesus said, no, let it be this way for now, so that all righteousness might be fulfilled. You know, the Father could no longer remain silent, and his voice boomed from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father could no longer contain himself. He just released from heaven this affirmation over his Son. This is my beloved Son. The Holy Spirit came down, ascended upon him. Hallelujah. And the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I tell you, it's his presence with us that empowers us. It's his presence with us that causes us to become famous by association. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We would do very well never to forget that. Because if we neglect our association with him, well, let's see what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. I was thinking about something recently. I thought, God doesn't hold it against you if you're skeptical. He'll work with you. What he doesn't want you ever to be is cynical. There's a major difference between being skeptical and being cynical. You know what I'm talking about, this morning. If you don't know what it is, look on the dice and go. God will never hold it against you for being skeptical, for being cautious, for taking a moment to step back and looking at something that you might not be immediately comfortable with. And here's the counsel of God, 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Why? Because there's a lot of spirits out there. There's a lot of voices out there. They're coming at you from every direction. He said, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's many people who claim to speak for God who are not really speaking for God. I just wanted to remind us this morning, as we come to a conclusion, that the Holy Spirit is our connection with the Father and the Son. And I want you to remind you what his name is, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit keeps us walking in the Word. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are a manifestation of the sons of God that this world is crying out for right now. The Holy Spirit keeps us walking in the Word. The Holy Spirit empowers and enables us to be a continuation of Jesus' ministry, to be an amplification of Jesus' message to keep that message coming through, coming through, coming through. God loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to have a relationship with you. But you're going to have to put the edge of the sword and everything else before you can walk in this. Before you can enter into this. You're going to have to turn away from the old before you can embrace the new. You're going to have to let go of the old before you can take hold of the new. Otherwise you're going to end up in all kinds of confusion, all kinds of issues and problems. And you know who'll get the blame? God will always get the blame. You know whose fault it'll be? Yours. And mine. Ours. He wants us to be an extension of Jesus' works. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. In fact, not only works like these, but greater works than these. Hang on there, folks. Getting close to shouting time. The Lord has given us the land. He has shown us how to receive it. I believe the strongholds are coming down. I believe we need to get ready to shout. Let me just ask you as we conclude this morning, have you made your decision? Have you made that decision to die to the world and all that is in it? Have you died to the world? Have you made all that you are and all that you have available to the Lord and to His kingdom? Because if you have, you can get ready to shout. You can release that righteous roar that accompanies active and aggressive expectancy. The righteous roar that shuts down and serves notice on the enemy. The righteous roar that embraces our Father's ways over our ways. The righteous roar that breaks the silence and proclaims and declares the victory of faith. The righteous roar that says, I can bring all that I am and all that I have into the kingdom. The righteous roar that declares that I choose to die to the world so I won't die in the world. The righteous roar that proclaims that I will never bless what God has cursed or curse what God has blessed. The righteous roar that declares that I will never forget whose I am or how I got to where I am. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. And if you feel led, release that roar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're practicing that. Just let it out, word of God. Hallelujah. It's in you. I'll guarantee you it's in you. How do I know it's in you? Because it's in me. It must be in you. Because He created you and me this horrible shakabasaka in His image. Hallelujah. He didn't create some of us like. Certain parts of us are the same. Hallelujah. Amen. We may have different personalities. We may look a little bit different. But I want to tell you, there's certain parts of us that are the same because we were created. Our spirit, man, was created in the image of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Because He roars. We roar. He's got a roar on the inside of you. And that devil's trying to have you purring like a pussycat. And God put a roar on the inside of you. Kobu shakaba sakabunda. That's one thing about that cat, glory to God, he'll just make his home anywhere. He'll just live anywhere. So, come somebody help me. Come on somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. If you think that cat, that cat just loves you more than anything else, I tell you, if you go, that cat's just going next door. He wants to give you another thought. All that cat thinks about is himself. But I'll tell you, the lion must be different. Because God says He's like a lion. And He says, like, we're like that lion. Hallelujah. And that lion isn't like a cat, it'll just go wherever. No, that lion sets the standard. That lion says, this is my territory. Around here, the things are done the way I want them done. Somebody help me! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to do it here. Practice it when you go home. I tell you, it's not an angry thing at all. It's a release. It's a woo. Every time I do it, I laugh after it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to expel a few demons from your house? Hallelujah. You don't get it by calling them names or anything else. Glory to God. You're not scared of your names. How scared are you saying? This means to know that you know who you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know how you got to where you are. Hallelujah. Because your God took you from darkness into light. He took you from death and he brought you into life. He delivered you out from under the control and the bondage of a wicked devil. And he brought you into the kingdom of his Son. Hallelujah. So that's why you can, because he roars, you roar. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people here this morning. I thank you, Father God, that you've given us this land. I thank you that you've invited us to receive this land, Father, to declare that this territory now belongs to the kingdom of God. Everywhere we go, everywhere we place the sole of our foot, to take it, to receive it as a place where the kingdom of heaven can manifest, where the blessing of God can be released. Hallelujah. Where people can be set free from the old life and be introduced to a new life, a transformed life. In Jesus' name, we believe for it. We expect it. We heard it read this morning. We believe it's time for the harvest. Hallelujah. We believe that these are glory days, Father. We thank you, Lord, that these are days that we're entering into. Lord, we're going to see things and hear things, Lord, like we've never seen or heard before. Hallelujah. Because we're going to hear testimonies coming forth of what you are doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We hear things coming from other parts of the world. We hear good things coming from even around here in our community, Father. We expect more. We refuse to move back into passive acceptance. We refuse to retain and to maintain, Lord, that attitude of active and aggressive expectancy, that no matter how much we see of your kingdom, we expect to see more, because you said there is more. Hallelujah. There's always more. How much more? Well, that's a question I don't believe we'll ever be able to answer. Hallelujah. Because even as we pass from time into eternity, there's still going to be more. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you this morning, Father. Our God is a Savior. Our God is a healer. We just proclaim and declare over Stornoway, over Lewis, over the islands, over the Hebrides, over our nation of Scotland and the United Kingdom, Lord, into Europe and across the nations of the earth, that our God, not just my God, but our God is a Savior. Our God is a healer. He did it all and he did it for all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Lord, we just call everyone out of darkness, out of death, out of bondage, back into the life that you created and designed them to live. A life of freedom. A life in relationship with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.